You are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe.
As I said, Pastor George is not feeling well today, so I'm filling in for him. For those of y'all that do not know me, my name is Rick Ford. I'm one of the elders here at the church, and I serve as an unofficial associate pastorship role as well, because I was ordained in the ministry through this church. And another quick thing, for those of you that were here the last time that I got up and spoke, I promise you it's going to be more upbeat. I know the last time I got up here, we talked about some things that are not so much fun. So the title of today's message, and we do apologize that the notes that you have loaded up in Church Center and on the app are not the notes that are to this message, because I'm preaching a whole different thing. So everybody gets to get everything new today. So the title of today's message is God's People. And it's similar to a message I've done before, but I wanted to change some things around and talk about that. And when we're talking about God's people, before you can understand that, you have to know, well, who are God's people? Well, if you look in the Bible and you look at the Old Testament, who are God's people? The nation of Israel. But they are God's chosen people. And that's a very distinct difference that I want to kind of laser focus in on, because the Jewish nation in the Old Testament are God's chosen people. Salvation for everybody was going to come through that nation. And it did. So when I ask the question, who are God's people? We are all God's creation. We are all God's people. And it's very important to understand that. And I know it's an old verse that is used a lot, but it says it all when I'm talking about this, and it's Ephesians 2:10. And it says, for we are God's handiwork. And I'm reading from the NIV, and now in some translations it says we are God's masterpiece. And we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I got to put my old man glasses on so I can read my notes at the bottom. There we go. And for the hecklers in the back, I have the microphone. Okay. And so looking at this verse, if you believe in the Bible, and we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, God created the heavens and earth and all who inhabit it. But in the New Testament, here it affirms that God created all of us to be his masterpiece. We are a masterpiece in God, and we need to look at ourselves that way. I know it's hard to do that for some of us. We don't see ourselves as a masterpiece, but it's very clear. We are created by the Creator, the one and only God of heaven who created all things, and he took the time to create you and me. He made us distinct. He made us who we are. And why did he do that? And it says we're to do good works. God created us to do something. He created us to be something. And everything that he created us to do and be is in him. And the only way that we're going to understand that is to get in his word and learn that, and learn what that means for you personally. Because the things that I'm gifted and equipped to do are not the things that you're gifted and equipped to do. God created us all different to do different things. There's a lot of work to do. Scripture's very clear. You know, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. There's a lot of work to do in this world, and we're all equipped to do something different. And I'm sitting here running my mouth and my screen shut off. So the main reason that we're created is to do works, but God also created us to fellowship and worship with one another. He created us to commune with us. He created Adam and Eve to commune with humanity. But as we have populated the earth, we're here to commune not only with God, but one another. We're here to lift one another up. We're here to build one another up. We're here to teach one another and help one another grow in God. And if you believe that you're a creation in God, then you're called to do nothing but that, nothing less than that. And that's very important for us to understand. And the next verse is in Luke, where it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And that is a huge transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the only people who could commune and have a salvation path with God was the nation of Israel. Because they lived under the law. They lived under God. They were God's creation, not God's creation, they're God's chosen people. But they were the people that he chose to show his glory to the world. But that changed. And I always forget this fact, and I'm so glad that one of the last couple times that Trevor got up and delivered a message, he reminded me of this, and I always try to keep it in my mind, that the span of time between the Old and New Testament was 400 years. 400 years that no one heard from God. All they had was God's law to live under. That's a long time, folks. There's a couple of us that have been around that long. I'm not going to point out, but we do have some elderly here. But God made that transition in the New Testament with the birth of Jesus Christ, with the life of Jesus Christ, and with the ultimate death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, so that it went from God's chosen people to God's people. Because he came to seek and save the lost. Folks, that's us. That's each and every one of us. Because without God, we are lost. And my wife and I have been watching Chosen, trying to catch up on it. We finally got the app to work where we could watch it. And I've been very intrigued about the storylines. But one of the things that that is just paramount through Jesus' walk and story here on earth is, you've heard it from this pulpit many times, Jesus did not go into the synagogues to reach people. Jesus went into the streets. He went and he found the sinners. He went and found the people who needed God. He even found the people who didn't know they needed God and gave them God. And that's an important thing, because there are still people in the world today that don't know they need God. But it's going to take someone like me and someone like you to show them God. And that's back to Ephesians 2:10. We're here to show them God. We're here to show them that not only are we a masterpiece in God, but they are. Give them self-worth so that they know that they are God's child. So that's one of the important things that we need to keep in mind with Jesus, is that he came to save the lost. He came on earth not for the religious leaders of the day. He came to pick up and save not just the Jewish nation, but then to transition and start a revolution to where the Gentiles now had a path of salvation to God. And Gentiles, by the way, are me and you. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And my last point here is that that example of what Jesus did is our example of how we are to approach the world. We are here to bring Jesus to the lost, because he didn't discriminate between anything, anybody. He went out and he found everybody that would listen, or even not listen sometimes, but because there are people like me that are hard-headed. sometimes you have to hit them in the head with a 2x4 to get them to listen. I don't recommend that, but there are people out there like that. So we are to mimic God's word, and we are to go and spread his word in everything that we do. And that transitions to Romans 3:22. And me, I love this. I love this verse here. And it says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So, God came and he said he's going to save all, whether Jew or Gentile. He's saying that there's no difference between the two. Now, when I say that he came to start a revolution, let me tell you, when that is preached in the nation of Israel, that was sacrilegious at the time. When he said there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, at the time, Jews did not even associate with people who were half-Jews, which were the Samaritans. They were hated by them because they were considered half-breeds. They felt like that they had no pathway to God because they were not fully Jewish. They were not fully of the nation of Israel. So for God, Jesus Christ, to come down and say, oh, by the way, we're also talking about the Gentiles. Those are people that are out in the world that have absolutely zero to do with the nation of Israel. But God said, I'm going to make a path for them too. They're now invited into the family. They're now going to be God's people. So we have to keep that in focus, is that we have all sinned. We're born into sin in this world. None of us are perfect. None of us are ever going to be perfect. We can strive to be, but we're not going to be. Get my old man glasses back on. And one of the things that that, especially in today's world, that cracks me up is, and it's not just today; it's been this way since the beginning of time almost, is we as a people, as humanity, we're very quick to judge people by their looks, by their possessions, by what they do, what they don't do. We're very quick to do that. And it's always baffled me that, especially after becoming a Christian, especially after learning and reading the Bible, that we judge so quickly and come to snap decisions so quickly by how someone looks. And if we say that we're a follower and believer of Jesus Christ, if we fully believe that we are one of God's children, well, Scripture's very clear. God does not see your exterior. He doesn't see it. Jesus looks at the heart of a man. And that's why I wanted to transition to this, is that if the creator of man, the person who put together and knit it together, each and every one of us, if all he focuses on is your heart, why do we spend so much time looking at the exterior and judging them based on that? Why do we do that? That's because sin has been introduced in the world. That sin can be overcome with only one thing, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And Satan, he uses that perception to his benefit in all things, because Satan is going to come into your life and he's going to say, whoa, wait a minute, that guy's different from you. Wait a minute, that lady over there didn't look like she's supposed to look like. Wait a minute, this guy over here, he needs a bath. Wait a minute, he doesn't have enough money. Oh, wait a minute, his car looks like junk. And you look at those things and you make a decision based upon that, instead of walking up and saying, hey, my name's Rick. I'm a follower of Christ. Let me tell you about him. That way they can see your heart. Because if you show them your heart, they'll show theirs to you. Because when you open the conversation up with somebody, when you show that you are a saved human being, you can show God's grace. You can show God's mercy. Because when you give that example, they're going to open their heart up to you. They're going to open themselves up to you to where then, if they are not a follower of Jesus, they're going to want a part of it. Because I'm going to tell you, and we've all seen it, those people that leave church on Sunday, they drive like maniacs, cutting people off, yelling at them. They go in the restaurants. They treat the servers like junk. They go through their day at work, yelling, screaming, cussing. And you wonder, church you go to? And I mean, who wants a part of that? I don't. I'm pretty good at yelling and screaming and raising Cain myself. I don't need help doing it. I need help in going in the other way. I need help by people that are more moderate than me. I'm still working on it. I got a long way to go. You know, what's that old commercial? You've come a long way, baby. I've come a long way, but I got a long way to go. But Satan is going to use those things because Satan wants to divide us. Satan wants to take even God's children and he wants to lie and deceive and say that you're not worthy. They're not worthy. Let me show you this nice, shiny new car. Let me show you the next job that's going to give you 50 cents or more. Satan's going to show you all these things and convince you that you need them. You don't. All you need are the things written in that book right there. Because if you look at those things written in that book, God's grace is enough. God sustains you through all things. And I can tell you, I don't want to make this about me, but I'm a living testament that God's grace can sustain you through some horrible things. God's grace can sustain you through some things that you should not have to do. And I'm uplifted. And Danny's not here today, but he was here. He was at the training yesterday, and he's been at the men's group. Seeing Danny come in here after losing part of his leg sustains me. That man has lifted up God in every aspect of it. I mean, goodness gracious, out of the blue, they told him that, you know, they were going to be able to save his leg, and then out of the blue, I'm sorry, we're going to take part of your leg. That man didn't skip a beat. He's praised God through the whole thing. He's given God the glory through everything. He still has some setbacks, but he still lifts up God. That man sustains my soul and sustains my spirit. Because if he can go through that, I can go through anything. And God puts those people in our lives. So, as a creator, like I said before, God has given us all different talents. Now, all the things that we do, all the things that we know how to do. I know how to do a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you right now, I could not do what this young man does. Y'all would not want me to sing. Not even a little bit. Your ears would bleed. You know, watching these guys get up here and play every week, I love it. I love the music. It just prepares me for what's to come. But there's not a way in Hades I could do what they do, because they do it so well. You know, looking at Grant right here, this young man, all the stuff he's into with what is it, Taekwondo? Yes, sir. No. I ain't gonna do it. You know, you can do that all you want, but I've seen those kids jump around and all the stuff and the athleticism that they do that and the work that they put into it. My body's not going to do that anymore. So the outreach and the things that they do, I mean, God love them. We need to support that. We need to honor that, because they do things that God's equipped them to do, and they do it well. I try to do the things that God's equipped me to do and do it well. One of them is I get to run my mouth. I'm very good at that. Easy. Remember, I have the microphone. So like I said, if the creator of mankind focuses on the heart of the man, who are we to do anything less? We are supposed to get to know our brothers and sisters. We are supposed to grow in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And there is really only way to do that. We just finished up a 5-week series, family group on faith. And it was, for me, it was a great study because you learned what faith is. You learned how to apply your faith. You learned how to live in faith through that study. It was a great study. I think it's still available online, is it not, Al? Miss Rose, okay. The workbook is still available online. If you were not part of that study, it's a pretty short read. I would encourage you to go look at it because it's a really good in-depth look at faith. And everything that I'm talking about today, being one of God's people, it requires that one thing. It requires faith. And that's very important. And I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. So in Matthew 5:43-45, it says, "You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteousness and the unrighteousness." I've talked about this before, that God's love is absolute and complete. God's forgiveness is conditional. And that's one thing that's very important to remember. You know I'm gonna mess with you, right? It's very important to remember that God's love is complete and unconditional. God's forgiveness is conditional, but it's conditional on you. God's forgiveness and God's grace and mercy is conditioned upon pretty much one thing: faith. You have to believe in Him. If you don't believe in Him, you will never be able to do what it says right there. It's easy to love your neighbor, but love your enemy? Those of you that know me well, I'm a hothead. When I get mad for real. It used to be a lot worse. My wife can tell you. I've done a lot of different jobs. One of the things I did before I became a Christian, while I was in the military and deployed unaccompanied, I didn't have nothing else better to do, so I worked as a bouncer. Suited my mindset pretty well at the time. Because for me, there was nothing more fun than being the guy that was sober in a fight. And that happened a lot, believe it or not, when you're on a military base with a bunch of young men that have never been away from home. And they didn't know how to act. But now, I'm not supposed to act that way. I'm still working on it, but I'm not supposed to act that way. And it tells us to love our enemies and pray for them. My goodness, is that hard to do. The people who have wronged you, to pray for them, oh my gosh, is that hard to do. But if we believe in God and we believe in the grace that He gave us when we were sinners, He forgave us when we were enemies of Him, how can we do anything less? That's being God's people. That's being one of God's children. Because He gave us grace when we didn't deserve it. How can we do anything less? And that's a lesson that I'm working on today. I tell you guys all the time, when I come up here, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to me. You just get to hear me talk. So, and this is another thing that's hard to talk to people about, is that last sentence. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Because people always ask, well, if God is so good and loving, how can he allow the bad things to happen? God is love, without a doubt. But more importantly, God is holy. God is just, but he is holy. His righteousness and his holiness is supreme, and it goes above and beyond everything. Each and everything. There is no one in this world that can live up to God's righteousness or his holiness. All we can do is bask in the glory of it and say, let me show you what God has showed me. All we can say is, let me show you what God has relieved me from. Let me show you how to get there. Let me show you who the Father is. That's our job. That's what we should be doing each and every day, the best we can do. So I think we've all seen the revival that's going on at Ashbury. Is that how you pronounce it? And I was reading the article, and I know we talked about it last week. That is just amazing. And it shouldn't amaze us, but it amazes me for one thing in particular. It's young people. Because all we have seen for the last decade are young people leaving the church, running away from God, running away because they think it's so restrictive. And then you have this chapel that the young people, I don't even know what generation they're called. What is it? Yeah, I think we've reached the end of the alphabet on them. Okay. But these are the young people. This is the next generation. These are the ones that are going to lead the nation going forward. And to see them say, I am missing something in my life, and here it is. And it has blown up. There are people coming from around the country making a tribute trail just to get there and be a part of it. The last article I read said that some people, they have had people come from more than, I think it's close to 30 different college campuses around the country. These are campuses where Christianity is pushed out. I don't want to use the word persecuted, but they're shamed. They're pushed into submission, and they're saying, this is where we have freedom. And they're showing up, and they're saying, God is working in this nation. We just have to get out of the way and let him work. We have got to get humanity out of the way and put grace in the way. And that has just been so amazing to watch. And when I say this is revival, ladies and gentlemen, this is going on 24/7. They haven't stopped yet. And it's growing. I mean, it's just amazing. And I love it. But I love it mainly because it's the young people who are leading it. But the one thing, and a lot of people don't know this, and I'll talk about that briefly, is that a similar thing happened, what was it, 70 years ago? 1970, that's what it was. And one of the people who was involved in that came back to speak at this one. Imagine having that happen twice in your lifetime. Oh, the feeling that must be. Some of us won't experience in our lifetime that type of revival, that type of Holy Spirit gathering down and just coming down and enveloping an entire assembly. But that's what Scripture says that the Comforter is going to do. He's going to come down and be with us. But we have to invite him in. Because of all things, and I've used this term before, and it's the best way I can say it, God is a gentleman. He is not going to force himself on you. He gave us free will and he gave us choice, but he is not going to force you to be his child. The invitation's there. The invitation's there for all time. You just have to accept it. You know, and that goes back to people talk about, well, rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Well, why do bad things happen? Well, we've spent two generations telling God he doesn't belong in the public square. We've spent two generations telling God he can't be in the schools. We spent two generations telling God he's got to get out of government. He can't be here. He can't be here. He can't be here. God said, okay. But when I'm gone, who's going to fill that void? Who has filled that void? Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not seen the news and the social media and all the stuff, the rise of satanic stuff is rising quickly. We're seeing it in music. We're seeing it literally on television. There's kid shows about it now. There's cartoons about it. Those things are okay to tell children. But the instant you tell a child about God, oh my gosh, you're a horrible human being. If we don't take hold of our children, the world will. I could sit here and talk for a half an hour about that. And I do want to finish up in Revelation. And Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God's persons from every tribe, every language, and people, and nation. So when I say who God's people are, we're all God's people. But only those who accept Jesus for who he is are children of God. Because God loves you. God made a path for every single human ever born to get into heaven. But it's conditional. Because above everything, God is holy. God cannot be in the presence of sin. I'm sorry. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. God is not going to allow us, our sinful selves, to be in his presence. Because if sin is in the presence of God, it dies. It cannot withstand his holiness. So if you are a sinful human being who has not accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, you cannot be in the presence of God the Father. You will not get into heaven. It's in black and white. And it says it as plainly as anybody can say it, or it can be said. And I say that because it says right here in Revelation at the end of the Bible, Jesus gave up his life. He shed his blood to become that perfect lamb, that one perfect sacrifice whose blood was going to cover the sin of all humanity for all times. One time. That blood is there for each and every person, not to just cover up your sins, to wipe your sins away. Because those who lived under the Old Testament law, the sacrifices there were just to cover up the sin. The sacrifices that had to be given and butchered on the altar and the bloodshed was to cover the sin of humanity. It didn't remove it. It was just to cover your sin, and you had to continuously give sacrifices. Jimmy reads her, does her Bible study every morning. And we lay there and listen. She does it reading out loud, and we listen to it. And we're in, is it Leviticus right now? The Bible plan? Numbers. I'm sorry. And they're talking about the daily sacrifices. And she always, every time we do this, she always makes the comment that she cannot wrap her head around the sheer number of animals to be sacrificed. And I want you to think about this, is that when Solomon did his massive sacrifice, the priests were literally this deep in blood and gore, up to your kneecaps in blood and gore from the sacrifices daily. That much blood to cover the sins of humanity, that much death to cover your sin. One man, one God man, came down and gave the blood in his body, and it covered all of humanity for all time. And by doing that, he made a path so that everybody sitting here, you are now God's people. You are now God's children. God loves everybody that has ever been born. He loves them. But he's not going to let you in until you have that step of faith and say, I believe. I believe. Because I've said this many, many times, and I'll say it many, many times more. If you believe one word that's written in that Bible, you have to believe them all. You can't pick and choose. You can't cherry pick. You can't, you know, pick out the ones that make you feel good, because there's people doing that today. There's pastors that get up and do that today. They want to read you something out of context. They want to read you something that just use this one piece of a verse. Mm-mm. You have to look at the Bible in context. You have to look at what the entire book says. Sometimes you may have to go and look back what the books before and after it say. But you have to understand what God's word is. But to believe one word in that book is to believe them all, because to not do so is to call God a liar. And I'm not in a position to do that. He knows better than I do. So in Revelation, it says here, they sang a new song. In heaven, they were singing a new song. They were singing about Jesus. Only he is worthy. Only he is worthy to pick up the scrolls, because when he gave his life, the Father commuted all of us under his authority. We are his children. We are saved by him, through him, and that's the only way. And I'm going to tell you, I've said this many times. In my imperfections, I know where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going. Because I've said, God, you're my Father. God, you're my Savior. And God, you're going to do whatever you do with me. I know where I'm going one day. I want to go with you. But when he calls, if you're not there with me, I'm going without you. I don't want to, but I will. Because when that time happens, it's going to happen quickly, in the blink of an eye. And God does not want one child left here on planet Earth when he calls us home. Unfortunately, there will be some left. And it talks about the tragedies that will happen then. It talks about the just the literal death and destruction that will happen, the calamity that will happen. I don't want to be a part of that. I've had enough. I'm ready to go home now, to be honest with you. But we're here now because God still has a plan for each and every one of us. If you woke up today as a child of God, you should be asking yourself, what's God want me to do today? Who does God want me to impact today? And be aware, you don't have to personally interact with somebody to impact them. You are an influence to those around you, whether you like it or not. You don't have to, you know, there's these people on social media, they're called influencers. Yeah, people watch them and, you know, they apparently live their life on how these people tell them to do it. That's just stupid. I guess I'm just too old, because that's just dumb to me. I'm gonna do the stuff that I know how to do. You are an influencer. You are an influencer in everything you do. Just by living your life in a godly manner, someone's looking at you. Somebody's watching you. And I'm going to tell you as a dad, first time, you know, because, you know, it's been no secret. When my children were younger, I didn't do the right things. I didn't say the right things. And the first time one of my kids said a cuss word, I'm like, who told you to say that? And you? I'm like, I didn't teach them to do it. They learned it from me. I didn't want them to do it, but they learned it from me. And I'm going to close with this one story that I've told before. When we had our motorcycle ministry, we were part of an event with CMA. That's Christian Motorcycle Association. And we did a ride from the old church building up to, I think it was Indian Springs State Park. And we got there, and there's probably 40, 50 bikes there in this event. And we all circled up. One of the gentlemen there got up on a trailer that was there, and we had a quick Bible study devotional. And then we did what was called blessing the bikes. You know, people that were new or had a new bike or just wanted to bless that, they put the rider and the passenger on the bike, and we blessed the bike and blessed them for safety and for God's protection. And we had a great time. One of the ladies there, still a friend of mine now, she shared with us a few weeks after. There was a friend of theirs just happened to be at the park that day. We didn't interact with them at all. But this gentleman had walked away from the church. But he shared with her afterward that by witnessing us, a bunch of grungy-looking bikers, coming together and just worshiping God, loving on one another, he decided to go back to church and turned his life around and rededicated his life to God. Folks, there's always somebody watching you. If you are God's children, if you are God's people, show God. Show them God in everything you do. Bands, you guys can come on up. And I do apologize again, you know, for the disconnect. I know that we did a lot of this stuff on the fly, but I do appreciate you guys listening to me. And I just want to encourage you as you go out this week, as you go out through this day, love on people. Show them who God is. Show them who God is in here. Not by your mouth. Show them God here. Because if you show your heart to them, you don't have to say a word. Thank y'all very much. Y'all have a blessed day.